little sponges to soak up whatever it is these teachers bring today, God. So we just thank you, God, that you can bless their time, God. Bless the teachings, bless the lessons, God. And most of all, let them have fun. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Teenagers.
The Tinos.
Good morning. I thought that clock said 7 o'clock. I was like, man, we really set it back. How are we doing today? Amen, brother. Amen. Let's take our swords out. And say this simple prayer. Father, I have your word and I know it's true.
Father, I have your word and I know it's true.
I am what it says I am.
I am what it says I am.
I have everything it says I have.
I have everything it says I have.
And I can do everything it says I can do.
I can do everything it says I can do.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Today's title is called The Warfare of the Sower. Do you realize that to sow into anybody's life or just sow seed, there are great difficulties that will come to you. We've been speaking about, for several weeks about the laws of sowing and reaping and how important it is that my prayer would be answered, that your eyes would be open to just the basics of these laws. I want to remind everyone that these laws work whether you're saved or unsaved. It works in everybody's life. It also comes with a promise that what we sow, we will reap. Okay? It is a fact, absolutely. And even in our sowing, we will reap more than what we sow so that we can have some for ourselves. And this is what Pastor Mike was alluding to. We can be blessed, but we can give more away. In that, we're like our Father in heaven. And lastly, in all, we reap in the same kind as we sow. If we sow wickedness, we will reap destruction. If we sow good, we will reap righteousness. So we have to stay in mind in these four basic laws. And like I said last week, we could spend a lot of time. And it's all based on Galatians 6:7. Just want to remind you, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, but especially to the household of faith. Amen? Amen. So we should be really looking to see how we can bless each other. Be a blessing is one of the awesome things. But the enemy comes to fight and put things into our minds. And this is what I want to talk about today. But I also want to, before we get into it, I want to lay down this foundation of simple principles that we have to keep in our minds. We are in a warfare, and that warfare wrangles against our mind. We are fighting for the souls of people, men, women, children, Martians too. The idea here is that when we sow good things into people's lives, we will reap a harvest. And that's what this whole thing is about. We have set a goal for Streams. And what is that goal? Can anybody tell me besides Pastor Mike? What is our goal for the number? We're looking to 70 people being part of Streams. And we are slowly reaching that goal because you guys are sowing good seed. But I want you to understand that the devil has an assignment. And his assignment is to stop us from accomplishing our goal. Whether it's 70, whether it's 700. He wants to keep us so that we do not take from his kingdom of darkness and add to the kingdom of light. And so what he does is he has five assignments set against us. And these assignments are one, to impede our progress personally to live a victorious life. And how many of us want to live a victorious life? Understand, when we're not living a victorious life, it's not totally your fault, although you contribute to it. But the enemy is sowing seeds to keep you from living the victorious life. Two, the enemy wants to steal the seed that you have for the harvest. If you have no seed, if you eat your seed, don't expect the harvest. If you don't expect the harvest of good things, you will reap harvest of bad things. Okay? And so, we sing that song, we want to know Jesus more, but that's a dangerous confession. Because the more you know Jesus, the more he expects of you. Do you really want to know Jesus? Because if you want to know Jesus, it costs you total surrender. That surrender means that we're spiritually aligning ourselves with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It doesn't matter anymore about my will. The only thing we live for is to accomplish his will. That's the truth. That's why we're here. That's why the church is here. If the church wasn't here, we've accomplished his will. But we're still here. So there's work that has to get done. And Satan does not want us to do that. Satan's desire is to steal the seed. And we know what the seed is. What we learn from the scriptures that the seed was. The word of God. Yeah, it's real simple. The word of God. And he wants to steal it from us. And I want to give us two principles in this, and we'll talk about that in a few minutes, but I want you to understand that the seed has power within it. It just needs a place to be sown into in fertile soil so that it can release the full contents or the full potential that God has sowed it for, has created it for. If you would turn to Mark, the 4th chapter, 26th verse. Christ says, he also said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up. The seed sprouts and grows, though he doesn't know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, the head, and then the full kernel. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle in because the harvest has come. We have to understand that what Christ is talking about is the law of beginnings. The law of beginnings. Nothing happens until God speaks. Right? God spoke and there was the earth. God spoke, there was light. God spoke, there was animals. Remember I covered this last week. And that really was another law that was in there. It was called the law of sustenance of life, which simply states whatever the source of the thing is must be the source of its existence. And we discussed, you know, if you take a fish out of water, what happens to the fish? It dies. If you take a bird out of the air and you put it underground, what would happen to the bird? It would die. We are from God. We are spiritual people. We are not flesh people. We just are contained within this. And so our existence really means that we came from God. We're just like God. And so we need to live by the word of God. I'm not saying anything different. I'm telling you how this is to work. If we can get that understanding and really realize how important it is for us to be in the Word of God, not just say the simple prayer that I have your Word and I believe it's true. I said something very key to that. I know it's true. Do you know it's true? Because it's based on your relationship with Jesus Christ. If nothing good is happening in your life, maybe you might want to repent and get into the Word to find out what God says about your situation. Because the enemy will do whatever he can to keep you from becoming that which God has designed you to be. You have a job. I can't do your job. I have enough trouble doing my job. And that's true. But as we all come together and we learn what our job is, we flow in the Spirit. We flow in love. We just flow, and it happens, and God uses us. We don't have to think about what our job is. We just do it. Satan doesn't want us to do our job. And so, when Jesus talks about the beginnings, he talks about first the stalk. That stalk comes out of the seed and begins to grow. But there's a lot of pressure and a lot of tension that's in there for it to break through. But once it breaks through, then it becomes a full kernel. Or the head. It grows up, it matures, and there's additional seed that's produced. And once it's produced and it grows to maturity, now comes time to harvest. And remember I said, we don't know how God causes this to grow. We just know it does. We don't know how people really grab this revelation, but God knows. And God causes it to happen. And Satan's job is to keep you from coming into that realization, that revelation of Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory. He has done everything he's going to do. You have everything you need to do what he's designed you to do. You just haven't come into that revelation of it. And so the process of the good seed, which is based on Hebrews 11:1, says first comes the revelation of the Holy Spirit. When we read the Word, he reveals truth to us. Right? The moment that you believe it, and this is key, the moment that you believe it, hope springs up in your heart. Think about this. You read God's Word, you believe it. Now all of a sudden within you, you have this newfound hope that what God says, He can do for you. Hope springs up. Things that faith is now the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Correct? But the key here is the final point. You can have faith and you can have hope, but if you don't start working and walking this out in your own life, I call it faith in action, it means nothing. It's head knowledge. Why do Christians mature faster than others? Part of the reason is they believe and they put faith into action. They begin to walk it out. They don't say, I can't, I don't. Those negative thoughts are not part of their vocabulary. We kept talking about the chairs. And I kept on saying, God is going to do something. God is going to do something. It took some years. Did God do something? Absolutely. And now, God has provided us chairs. And I want to thank the men right now that were there Thursday night, because this is possible only because of those men. If you had seen what these men had to do to get the chairs out of the truck to here to, for your comfort, you'd appreciate more and more. The driver We were his first. We were his first delivery, and he showed up at 7:45 at night. And he still had to go to Brooklyn. You have to put your faith in action. It's not enough just to believe the word. It's not enough to parrot it. It requires us to walk out our faith each and every day. And Satan doesn't want us to get to that point. Because at the very moment you believe and hope begins to spring up, that's when he attacks you. Let's look at Matthew 13:19. Do we have that, or didn't I put it? Well, I can read it, and they can turn it. Matthew 13:19. So the Lord says, he says, when anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. He comes to take it away. And this is why I stressed last week that it was really important that we begin to understand what our Father is saying in truth, not just have a mental assent about it. Because it has everything to do about your life and the quality of your life. If you believe you are a prince or a high priest, you need to live that way. If you're believing the lie that it doesn't matter, I can live in abject poverty, but when I get there, I'm going to be a king and priest. You're a king and a priest now because of what happened on the cross. Now, faith is. Do you believe what he said that you are now? It's not tomorrow. It's not in the by and by. It's now. And it requires your faith to be in action to allow the process to begin. And if you don't put it into action, the enemy will come and steal it from you. Second one, Mark 4:15. I know we got this one. We don't got this one either? Okay. I know we don't have this one. We're getting better though. Mark 4:15 says, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. The key here is immediately. You can sit here and you can hear the Spirit using me to express his desire in his heart. But if you don't act upon it, he will steal it immediately. If you don't believe it and understand it, he is here to steal it. You see, the devil is in the church. Read the parables and you'll understand. We need to understand what these five things are that Satan uses to impede us. And these tactics that he uses are pressure, ill treatment, debt, wealth deception, and forbidden things. Where do you get that from, Pastor? Where do you get that from? I'm glad you asked. Mark 4, starting verse 14. Many believe that this parable only has to deal with new believers. I'm here to show you that this parable deals with not only new believers, it is a continuum of the believer's life. Let's look at it. The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown, and as soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes it away, the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with great joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires of other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce or walk out a crop 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown. These five things are contained within this parable. They are tribulation, persecutions, the cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, and desires for other things. Are they not in that scripture? It is not just for people who hear the word, and it's not just for make believers. This is a cautionary word to believers. Remember I said, if Satan wants to do, he wants to keep you from receiving Jesus Christ. If he can't keep you from receiving Jesus Christ, his next job is what? To keep you from becoming or knowing who you are in Jesus Christ. What is your identity? The next thing is, if he can't keep you from knowing who you are in Jesus Christ, he wants to keep you from getting the power, releasing the power in your life. And if he can't do that, it's game over. Contained within each and every one of us is an atomic bomb in the spirit. Do you believe that? You should, because that's the truth. Because you have the very God who died on the cross, now dwelling in our spirits, to make this possible. This is why Paul says, I not only want to know him, I want to know the power of his resurrection. You see, what God is calling into the church now is for the church to not only know him, not know about him, but know him intimately and the power of his resurrection. That's another study. Let's take apart these scriptures. Tactic number one, tribulation. Or what we call affliction. It's a Greek word. The Greek word is thlipsis. T-H-L-I-P-S-I-S. It's having feelings of being in a pressure cooker. Has anybody ever felt like the world is collapsing on them? Should be all of us. All of us have felt it. This comes from putting unrealistic demands either from your job, either from loved ones, or even from yourself. It's a pressure cooker. I can't deal with it. Tribulation or affliction arises when the pressure that you make, whether real or imaginary, comes from the decisions that you make in your life. It is pressured so that you make decisions based on your emotions, not on the Word of God. Think about that for a second. Think about the decisions that you made. Did you consult God? Did you consult the Word of God in your decision making? Or did you do what you thought was right? I'm not here to judge you. I'm here to expose a tactic of the enemy who is trying to steal from you your birthright in Jesus Christ. See, church is more than just us singing songs and clapping hands and having a good time, hugging each other and telling everybody we love you. Church is where you get trained so that 6 days a week, you go out and live a victorious life and win souls. Seed souls. Because that's his will. None should die. And the first person that's got to die is me. My wants, my desires, my proclivities, everything has to die so that His will, His power, can begin to emanate from me. And if He expects that out of me, He expects it out of His children if we call God our Father. We call this today stress. Has anybody got tons of stress going on? It's not me now, because I don't have stress. I've learned to give it to God. But it's called stress. Is this stress by our own doing, because we've made decisions in the past without consulting God? Or is it stress because the enemy is now beginning to use our finances, our relationships, our positions, and pressuring us so much so that we're making decisions because we're an emotional basket case? I used to live that way. Now I consult the Word of God. And I consult my brothers. Why? Because there's wisdom that's found. There's wisdom found in a group. You have to understand, these emotions start the moment you believe God. Believe what He says. And each one of us will have a time in which God will say, "Do you trust me?" I had that. I was on strike for over 10.5 weeks. My resources were gone. My savings were gone. The strike benefit was $100 a month. Man, that doesn't even pay for the gas. And I said to Irene, I said, "Man, you know, I'm going to have to go out and get a job." And I praise God for my spouse. She said, "I think you need to talk to God." And she knows I do. But that gentle reminder of not making a decision based on my situation, my circumstances, or emotional proclivities, but on the Word of God, is ultra important. And God said to me, when I went to Him and I said, I need a job, I need this, God simply just said 4 words. "Do you trust me? Do you trust Him? Do you truly trust Him?" "Well, you see, Pastor..." No. Answer the question. Do you trust Him? The answer should be yes. Because He is the only person trustworthy. He is. He's the only one. I'm going to disappoint you. Others are going to disappoint you. You know, whatever's going to happen in your life. God will never disappoint you. Once you begin to believe. And so what He said to me after I answered Him, I said, "You're right, I don't trust you. I trust you only to this point." Are you going to trust Him all the way through your life? You see, that was a turning point in my life 16 years ago. He told me when I was going back to work, which talks about His sovereignty. He knows the beginning to the end. He told me how much of a raise I was going to get, which, you know, was more than what was being negotiated. And also, he told me that I was going to get a promotion that I didn't know, that I did get. And it's like, He has your best interest if you include Him in your decision making. And you do what He tells you to do. You see, obedience is better than just sacrifice. Satan wants to steal the seed so that you don't put faith in action. He wants to keep you isolated. He wants to keep you down. He wants to steal the seed so that hope doesn't spring forth. And the reality of what God wants for you, the blessings that God wants for you and in your life, will never materialize. Here's the good news. That's the bad news. Here's the good news. God uses this pressure cooker to develop our character. What Satan meant for evil, God will turn around for good. He doesn't want us to be characters. He wants to build Christ's character in us. And the more we resist, the more we have nothing, because we're operating out of rebellion, which is of the devil. Two, persecution. We call that ill treatment. The word is diagmos, D-I-O-G-M-O-S, diagmos. It's being treated badly. And it comes when you believe. When you believe, whether it's in Jesus Christ or His Word, or you're going through something and you believe what He says, it comes when people start attacking what you believe. Oh, that'll never happen. That's pie in the sky belief. God doesn't want you because, you know what, you're living a life so much. You've got to clean your act up before God will work in you. Let me tell you something. God didn't need to clean my act up. He gave me a new life. Just like He's given to you, a new life. That stuff has passed away. That's on the other side of the cross. If He doesn't remember it, and the Word of God says He doesn't remember our sins, why should you? Why should you believe what the enemy is saying about you when it's not true? When they speak things that are inappropriate to speak to you. And all of us, you know, we've heard this, sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me, right? We've heard that. It's on Facebook. It's on YouTube. The devil wants to steal your faith the moment you believe. And he wants to persecute you. You see, if he takes the seed out, there's no hope. And without hope, we're just existing. The good news is God uses it to develop a strong identity, our identity in Him, in Jesus Christ. When somebody says, oh, you'll never amount to anything, my Father says, and just quote the scripture, you'll never amount to anything. You know, people hate you. People are prejudiced against you. That may be true, but that's not what God says. I'm for you. I'm not against you. My thoughts are to promote you. My thoughts are good thoughts for you. My thoughts are to give you a life, not to allow you to stay in death. The moment you believe, you'll be attacked. Cares of the world. Tactic number three. We call this debt. Why do I call it debt? Because we want to keep up with the Joneses. We want what everybody else has. God breaks it down. He calls it covetousness. I call it debt. The word is merimna. M-E-R-I-M-N-A. It's translated as anxiety. How many of us get anxious when we don't pay our bills on time? None of us? Okay, bro. We'll pray for you. We all been there. Or we're there now. Satan, the moment you believe who you are in Jesus Christ and what God is able to do, my Bible says He is able to meet your needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus. Needs. Satan wants to impoverish you. He'll use your kids. Oh, I need the latest, greatest, whatever, the iPad or the phone or whatever it is, the next electronic game. And you feel the pressure of this. We always used to tell our kids, if you want it, save your money. You can buy it. We're not paying for it. Oh, you're being mean, Dad. No, I'm being practical. I can't afford it. I'm not going to let you pressure me into getting my emotions so disoriented that I'm doing something contrary to the Word of God. I need to teach me so I can teach you how the kingdom operates. Satan loves to see the sons and daughters of God anxiety ridden. And the precursor of this is our debt. We as a nation are $20 trillion in debt because we have people who make emotional decisions not based on the Word of God. And because the Christians have remained silent for 100 years, we've allowed it. That's why it's important that you go vote. Vote for God. Don't vote because the government can give you something. God can give you all that or take it all away. I'd rather be on His side and do it His way and keep the stuff that He gives me and be able to bless others in the process. The first important thing that we must understand that we're in a battle is it is a battle. And it's probably one of the weakest areas that I find that the church is in because it doesn't want to do what God says. And we have a whole thing, kingdom economic, which teaches you how to get out of debt, but also how to accumulate wealth without trying. If you do it God's way, it works. I'm 30-some years walking with God. I'm a living testimony of that. I didn't work for the stuff I got. God just gave it to me. It just required me to believe and put faith on the Word of God to live this way. What's the good news? The good news is God wants to use this as an opportunity to teach His people proper stewardship. Do you have a budget? What's your budget look like? Do you have a budget, but you deviate from the budget? Are you hoarding stuff? That's called being greedy. Are you not giving to God? Are you stealing from God? I'm not judging you. I'm giving things out there to get you to understand it's more than just words. There are actions that have to correlate with the Word of God. And Satan will come and steal that and make you believe, I don't have enough money. I need to get more jobs. No, what you need is you need to be trained in the resources that you have at the moment that he can prove you faithful so that he can give you more. You see, you have enough, you just don't know how to use it properly. And because you don't know how to use it properly, you're trying to come and come to some sort of conclusion or some sort of reasoning that I gotta do this. My debts are so high that I've gotta get another job. Or I'll play the casinos. Or, you know, the lottery. Oh, I'll play the lottery. It's only 10 bucks, you know, but I'll play the lottery. Do you not understand that being wealthy, people who are wealthy have problems? Money is not going to solve your problems. Only God is. But you got to do it His way. And what Satan wants to do is steal that from you. And constantly beat you with it than actually for us to engineer and live a life in such a way that we become good stewards of what God has given to us. And if we prove ourselves faithful, He promises us to give us more. That's how the kingdom works. Tactic 4, the deceitfulness of riches. I call this wealth deception. The Greek word is apate, A-P-A-T-E. And it's translated deceitfulness. The devil wants us to believe that money will solve all our problems. And we know that the scripture says, you know, the love of money is the root of all evil, right? What's it say, Sean? The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Love should not be directed to a substance. Your love should be directed to the Creator, our Father. How many of us believe that working overtime is going to eventually dig us out of a hole? I'm the only one? Working overtime will dig us out of our hole, our debt hole. That's what Satan wants us to believe. Satan also wants us to believe that gambling. What's the lottery up to now? See, I couldn't even tell you. I don't get involved in that garbage. Why? Because wealth gained easily will soon be dispersed quickly. You don't understand the value of how to sustain a lifestyle that is pleasing to God. If we allow the world and all the dictates of the world to come in and tell us how to spend, and you can just sit in front of the idiot tube and it will tell you what you need. You need a new car, you have this. You need new electronics, you need a new phone, you need new drugs, you need this, you need that. I mean, all it does is pepper you with the needs. And one thing leads to another, and eventually you go, man, I could use that. You don't want to talk to me, because the first thing I'll say to you is, what's God saying? What's God saying to you? I don't know, Pastor. You should know. You should know. Even the beggar at the gate called Beautiful at the temple thought money was going to solve his problem. What was he doing? Alms. Alms for the poor. Until he met Peter and John. And what they say? Silver and gold I don't have, but what I do give to you, in the name of Jesus, rise and walk. See, he didn't need money. He needed to be able to walk. That was his need. If you're able to walk, you're able to go get a job. If you're able to go get a job, then you go and learn how to be a steward of the finances that you have. The good news is, again, I'm not trying to pick at you. I'm trying to get you to understand how the enemy attacks you to make you think that you need to do this when really all that you need to do is do what God tells you to do. And the good news in this is God wants you to look to Him as the source of everything, which He is, not to the world and not to yourself. A lot of us are going through some stuff and we're believing some stuff, and all we do is we're falling further and further out of relationship with God. That's what the enemy wants. It's not what your father wants. That's what your enemy wants. And finally, the desire for other things or forbidden stuff. The Greek word is epithumia. It's translated as lust. Desire or lustful desire for carnal cravings that are forbidden things. They're abominational things. They are things that will destroy your spirit. There will be things to put you into prison. Prison isn't just a place. You can be free and still be in prison. That's what sin does to us. It could be an addiction. It could be fear. It could be doubt. It could be anything. But this is what the enemy is trying to get us out of the things so that we don't have peace. If we desire things more than we desire God, that's called idolatry. How many of us love God? Do we have some stuff that we need to clear out of the way to put him at the front of the thing? I would encourage you to do that. Because once you do that, you'll still be attacked. You'll still be attacked. Because Satan is not going to just let you do whatever you want to do. You see, God is all-encompassing. He wants us to realize that he has your back and wants to lead you into your future. Because if he's got your back, he's so big you can't see your past. He's covered that. He's covered it in his blood. You only have a future. And it starts with you believing and taking that step and resisting the enemy. Bible says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. A lot of us are having problems doing the first, submitting to God, surrendering to God. Because we still think we're sitting on the throne, we still believe that we can make our own decisions. Oh, I don't have to listen to pastor. You don't. You can live your life the way you want. I live a life now encompassed with peace. I live a life and now I can be more of a blessing. I live a life that I can brag on what God has done for me. Over and over and over. That doesn't mean I don't get attacked. It doesn't mean my family doesn't suffer things. It does not mean that I escape. I'm in this warfare with you too. I'm here to tell you that God works for us if we let him. Every situation that we find ourselves in, it may be impossible. We may not be able to see the end. It may be overwhelming. We've done and made decisions that have short-circuited our plans, so much so that we now no longer have vision for a future. Understand, Satan does this to make you give up. He doesn't want you to be a threat to him. And you become a threat the moment you believe and put your faith in motion in it. I was a young Christian years ago, and I worked in a secular place, and people found out that I got saved, and I had my Peter moment. Anybody understand what a Peter moment is? The Peter moment is, will you admit that you're of Christ, or you will deny him? Peter's moment was 3 times. He had a chance to admit that he was a follower of Jesus Christ. And 3 times he denied him. In that moment, we had a biker guy, friend of mine, who was scurvy, filthy, clothed. I mean, he chose to live that way. And he come up to me and he said, Gary, I want to ask you a question. I hear this nasty rumor about you. I said, okay, what's going on? He says, this rumor is that you've given your life to Jesus Christ and you become a mighty preacher. And yeah. I want to know if it's true. And in that split second, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, you have a choice to make. If you deny me before men, I'll deny you before the Father. If you confess me before men, I will confess you before the Father. Confession really is what you believe. Is Jesus Christ Lord of your life? That was the question. Because this guy I used to go out, get drunk with, party, and get high with. Yeah, pastor got high. You know, you saw some of my pictures, you would say, who is that guy? But I said to him, very simply, I said, I've given my life to Jesus Christ. I'm not here to preach to any of you. I'm here to live my life before you to show you that it's possible to be forgiven. And when you get interested, I'll be here to tell you about Jesus Christ. And I walked out. My legs were shaking. I was a wreck. But I would not deny Jesus Christ. Shortly after that, I had an opportunity. I was working down in Salem. People know what Salem is like today. I had a gun pulled out on me, and a guy threatened to shoot me if I would deny Jesus Christ. I would not deny. And he pointed the gun at me and pulled the trigger, and I saw the chamber go around, and then there was a shell going into that chamber, but it never fired. Never fired. My time was not up. God has the last word in everything we do. If you want to continue to live a life less than what God has designed for you, you're more than welcome. I'm exposing what Satan has done in my life, and I want to set you free or make you understand how important it is as a believer, you're not to be tiptoeing through the tulips. It's not a life of carefree and fun. It can be at parts, but the reality of it is I'm interested in your souls. I'm interested in the souls of people out there that have not known Jesus Christ. That is the only reason why I'm here now. To convey his heart to how important you are to him. And if you believe that, Satan will come and attack you. But it does not make the truth any less true. Amen? Pastor Mike?